whereabouts on the planet the most discoveries found? Does it vary, or is there like one hot spot?
DNA is like any chemical reaction affected by entropy and temperature. For a long period of time, the best places to get real ancient DNA is from the high latitude. So permafrost regions, anywhere where it's cold. Permafrost is great because it's permanently frozen soil. There's lots of it around, and it's often quite fossil rich. So places like Siberia, the Yukon, Alaska, they've all been very good sources of ancient DNA from the Ice Age megafauna, which were living quite healthy in those times, and have been incorporated into the crust as subfossil bones. So that's probably the best place. Inside caves as well has been another good place to look for ancient DNA. You have lack of sunlight. Obviously, you have constant temperatures, which don't fluctuate too much. In the lower latitudes, a lot of the ancient DNA work has been done on cave material. That's certainly the case with a lot of the Neanderthal work that's been done, Denisovan work, things like that. And then also museums as well. Museums are a great repository of ancient DNA from not just recently extinct, but also, you know, diverse populations of things that are still around, extinct populations of things that are still around.
You mentioned Siberia. I'm just wondering about Antarctica. Have we found any cool things there, or is there just not much there?
So obviously Antarctica is not very wildlife rich at the moment, although there have been some very good studies done on things like Adelie penguins, which have their home in the Antarctic. They nest on the coast of Antarctica, and have been doing so for tens of thousands of years. And so some early 2000 studies looking at Adelie penguins had really great data from well-preserved penguin bones, and were able to dig down into the layers of these nesting sites, find DNA from thousands of years ago, and look at change in population through time.
Yeah, and would there be any other potential megafauna in Antarctica from a long time ago, or is it only like birds? And
with Antarctica, I'm not certain, but I think it's been frozen for millions of years. Certainly there are dinosaur fossils and other things from a time period when it wasn't. Over the last million or so years, it's been frozen. So I think the kind of fauna that you find there is really just the sort of penguins and a few insects, fungi and stuff like that. There's not really a lot going on.
And what about in the UK? Where have we found some cool things? Is it also in caves?
Caves in the UK, there's not been a lot of work done on faunal remains. Cave sites are good. I've worked on ancient DNA from Orkney, looking at the Orkney Bowl. Hyenas from some of the caves in England, Kent's Cavern, Creswell Crag, some of the Welsh caves as well. Certainly, if you're looking at UK ancient DNA, southern England's probably the best place for it. You have to remember that back during most of the Ice Age, everywhere north of York was covered in glaciers. So that's kind of wipe the slate clean up there. There's not a lot of subfossil remains found north of Yorkshire. Certainly studies of later things like Neolithic humans, even medieval humans as well, there's been quite a lot of work done.
Yeah. Speaking of the Pleistocene era, could you tell me more about it? And for someone who might not know what that actually means, like what could be found in there and what the climate was like at the time?
The Pleistocene is kind of main geological name for what we understand as the Ice Age. And it's from around about 2 million years ago till about 10,000 years ago. And it's a really interesting time period. It's not just cold the whole way through. It's very dynamic. You have big swings in climate from very cold, dry conditions, the kind of typical Ice Age we imagine, you know, frozen tundra kind of area, to swings to these interglacial periods where climate's pretty much like what it is today. It's kind of not too cold, very temperate.
Yeah.
And these sort of swings happen fairly regularly all the way through the Pleistocene. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence to say that we're actually still in the Ice Age. The Holocene, the period, the geological epoch that we're in just now, is essentially just an interglacial, which we're lucky enough to be living in at the moment.
And what was the apex predator of the Pleistocene era, if there is one?
Well, there's a few candidates. So it depends what region you're talking about. In the UK, there would have probably been cave lion or saber-toothed cat. In Australia, it would have been the marsupial lion. In North America, it might have been the short-faced bear or one of the saber-tooths, or even the American lion. If you go to some of the island ecosystems, places like Madagascar, top predator would probably be something like the giant busa. New Zealand, you've got the past eagle, Harpagornis. So yeah, there's just like in the modern world, there's different regions of different apex predators, different webs.
Yeah. Speaking of the saber-toothed cat, I read that genome analysis revealed diurnal hunting behaviors and social structures that are atypical for felids. I was just wondering how we can determine animal behaviors from analyzing their genome, and why is diurnal hunting an unusual discovery?
Yeah, so that's a paper that the first author on. That was some of the work I did when I was a postdoctoral researcher in Copenhagen, looking at the saber-toothed Homotherium, which is the genus that's found from Africa to North America. It's less well-known than the other saber-toothed genus, Smilodon, which is just found in the Americas. But Homotherium is very rare in the fossil record, and so we're very lucky to get access to a bone from this species from the permafrost regions of the Yukon in Canada. When we did the whole genome analysis of this, we were interested in looking at regions of the genome which were under positive selection. So we can use various computational methods to compare the genome of the saber-tooth to other kind of close relatives, so other bipedal carnivores, so things like hyenas, modern cats, some of the mongoose family as well. And we can see where things have been under selection in the genome and relate those to particular gene regions. What we found, and I wasn't a major player in the actual analysis of the data. I did mostly the generating and some of the writing. But the bioinformaticians found that the regions under selection are to do with diurnal living. So genes involved with eyesight and things like that, which suggested that Homotherium was active during the day, which is quite unusual for cats, which tend to be kind of crepuscular. They're active sort of dawn and dusk. Not many are normally active during the day. If you look at places like sub-Saharan Africa, then you have large apex predators like lions, leopards, hyenas. They tend to just hang around doing not very much during the day, and they're only active very early in the morning, very late at night, just because that makes sense for them. The idea that Homotherium was active by day, as well as the genetic evidence that we put forward, there's also some evidence from paleontology. So looking at the structure of the skull, particularly the endocastic space where the brain would have been, Homotherium had very large optic bulb, the parts of the brain that process visual information, which suggests they did a lot of looking at stuff active during the day. Makes sense as well to that.
And what would be some reasons for them doing that specifically, if you could think of any?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to give anything more than a supposition. If you're to ask me to guess, then the area where Homotherium is living and the time period, you have an ecosystem full of large forests, so things like mammoth, woolly rhinos, bison, or lots of large deer, Irish elk, all these kind of large animals. And we think from kind of fossil evidence that the Homotherium had a preference for young mammoths. So there's a fairly famous cave site in Texas called Reason Hand Cave, where remains of a den of Homotherium have been found, along with hundreds of teeth of young mammoths, suggesting that they've been brought there by the cats themselves. So yeah, I think, why would it be active during the day? Probably because it was after baby mammoths, and baby mammoths were active during the day. That would be my kind of best guess, but it's just a guess.
Yeah, and did saber-toothed cats and cave lions, I assume they coexisted at the same time. Were cave lions hunting at night, and what were they hunting on?
Yeah, our best guess. So cave lions are quite close relatives of the modern lions. We can think of them as essentially the sort of same kind of cat. So yeah, they probably were muscular as well. Pride living, so in large groups, which is unusual for cats. Not many cat species are social. We know from isotope evidence that they had quite a wide and varied diet. So things like reindeer, bison, even cave bears as well. There's some evidence that cave lions hunted cave bears, large extinct vegetarian bears that are found all over Europe and into Northern Asia.
Yeah.
So yeah, cats as a whole are quite varied in diet. They're flexible and they can hunt whatever abundant and available at the time. So yeah, I don't think they would have been too picky.
You've mentioned a lot of different animals and megafauna that have existed in the UK in the past, which is just incredible and fascinating to imagine. What caused them to become extinct? There's one group of people that say climate change and another group of people that say human hunting. What side are you on and why?
I'm very much on the human side. It is a very complex question. I just think that it's not just a hunting it would be impossible to hunt them to extinction. But humans are an invasive species outside of Africa and South Asia. We didn't evolve in deep rich in Europe, the Americas, or Australasia. And we know that invasive species are a real problem in the ecosystem. We have very good evidence for hunting of a lot of megafauna, things like woolly mammoths, giant ground sloths, and all sorts of megafauna. But it's not just that. It's also the effect we have on habitat as well, whether that's burning things down, cutting things down. We have commensal animals, domestic animals to be brought with us as well. So we have domestic dogs and the effect that they would have had on young megafauna as well. And I don't think it really would have taken very much pressure to really decimate some of the extinct megafauna. Certainly when we look at something like the woolly mammoth, if it was anything like elephants, we're talking about in a 24-month gestation period, only having one young after reaching maturity, which takes up to, you know, a decade plus.
Yeah,
it's a kind of investment strategy which doesn't take a lot to really upset it. We wouldn't have to take too many individuals for the population. And then once populations start crashing, you have a whole bunch of unintended consequences that just snowball.